Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, it's funny you say that, B. Scott, because you think that'd be a pretty simple answer.
Yeah.
But I listened to that. Now, I listened to it twice. Old Nicky.
You were looking for a simple answer.
Old Nicky went around that elbow to get to that mouth now. I mean, he could have real easy said, hey, we got our two tackles. We got our two starting tackles. This young fella's got a long way to go. That's the card he plays with a lot of folks. Hey, these young fellas got a long way to go before they're ready now. But yeah. For whatever reason, we can't do that with Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil. And we know it ain't about Laremy Tunsil. It has to be about – for whatever reason, we can't just say, yeah, Sean, in a perfect world, we got two great tackles, and these are the two guys that we're going to ride with. Yeah, Nick Caserio did join Payne and Pendergast this morning once again, and it was absolute radio gold. I say it every time. The chemistry between – the general manager and Payne and Pendergast, both them boys, is absolutely tremendous. It's a guy that I think is, now I think he's a little more comfortable doing it now than he was 2 or 3 years ago, which makes sense. He's 3 years into his being his own GM and not living in the shadow of Bill Belichick. He's also a year removed from, I guess year four for him, isn't it? He's a year removed from the Deshaun Watson and the dysfunction that was Lovie Smith and David Culley. No disrespect to those two men. I love both of them, but that's the era of football. People know what I'm talking about.
Clint, Sean literally asked him if it's harder to trade now being the GM of a good football team.
Yeah.
This the first offseason when they're having an interview where he could ask a question like
right,
that.
Right.
That
right.
Big Nick energy. Yeah.
But they do a tremendous job with Nick Caserio every time that he joins him. It is must-listen to radio. If you're not a morning, like me, look, I got two babies, and I'm not a morning guy. And I get pissed off when I miss my workout. So I probably ain't going to be listening at 7:30. But you know what? I got that Audacy app. AUDACY. One way to listen to the damn drive.
I hear that thing's got a rewind feature.
It does, Tyler. I'll be damned. You read my mind. It's got this little rewind feature where you can go on back and you can listen to the whole interview. And I suggest that about 6... let's do it at about 11 o'clock tonight. I think you should probably hit that rewind feature and just make sure it ain't before 6. That's for damn sure.
Shout out Area 45.
That's right. I'm trying to show the guys a little love.
Do it after Area 45's baseball postgame show, Houston baseball postgame
show. That voice you hear right there is B. Scott Skeezy. Yes, he's in the building today for Ron Ugly. T. Mills behind the glass. You already heard him. He heat that mic up quick now. When Ron's gone, old Tyler, he just feels free. Hell, he hot mics my ass in the first 2 minutes. That's all right.
It was party.
Hey, I like it, man. I need it. How about it, man? We got, as I said, Nick Caserio joined Payne and Pendergast. We'll bring that to you all day today. He absolutely lit it on fire with about four, I think, big time topics. Not all draft related, but there's a lot going on over at NRG that I think the fans will love to hear from the general manager. Feet on the ground over there in the building. He brought some real fire with those guys today. So we'll bring that to you today. And I'll be damned, Tyler. Hey, boys.
Yep.
Them Astros survived a shootout now.
Ooh, man.
Look here now. I'm not one that wants to get real excited about the Astros winning a ball game right now. I'm still got a little bit of that arrogance in me where this is 7 straight ALCSs now.
Man, listen, you better take your wins where you can get them these days.
I know, B. Scott, but it's the way that it went down. You watch that game last night. And I know it wasn't perfect, but you watch that game last night, and Hunter Brown got in a little bit of trouble.
Did.
Right?
Started out a little bit of trouble. That's what he does now, Clint.
That's okay. But what'd they do? Boom. They got the young fellas back. Hey, don't worry about it.
Bats came alive.
That's right. It was 3-3 before you knew it.
Yep.
Hey, don't worry about it, young fella. We're all right. Okay? He settles in. He does his thing. Right? He gives up a 2-run bomb. You know, lets them close the gap once the Astros took that big lead. Montero comes out there, struggles a little bit.
Yep.
Right? Which, before the season started, what do we think the problem is going to be?
Middle relief,
right? That's what happened a little bit there.
Yeah, and Montero is his own question.
Yep.
You know, he's been pitching better this year, but he's his own question every time.
Yep. Abreu came out there, got a little squirrely on us, but he worked his way out of it.
He did.
Presley did his little thing. Hader comes in there, does his thing. Boom, Hader. Hey, man, we're in a little bit of a spot. We need you to go back out there in the 10th.
Yeah.
You got it, coach. I'm out there. 30-plus pitches.
Something first he ain't did in a minute.
2019.
Yeah.
I heard him say it's first time since 2019 that he's gone 2 innings, I believe is what they said. But he goes out there. And look, it didn't go perfect because he gave up a run. But ultimately, the guys that I think you need to bail you out, so to speak, calm the waters, I think those guys did that last night, gave us a chance. And then a handful of guys that you didn't really expect to be difference makers were absolute difference makers last night. Let's see what that sounded like, Astros fan. How about that? Let's see what this sounded like. Hey, Bregman, you've had your flowers. You've had your time in the sun, baby. I ain't got yours. But how about Joey Loperfido's first Major League Baseball hit, huh? How about that? Bases juiced, 3-3 ball game. If I'm not mistaken. And Joey Loperfido did this here.
And a line drive to center field. That'll be down for a hit. Two runs are going to score. Great read by Peña. Joey Loperfido's first major league hit breaks the tie. 5-3 Astros.
I know. Hey. I know nice. Joey Loperfido, B-Scott. I know he's playing outfield. But if we combine them two first basemen that we're playing up until this point, 25 games, hit 3 RBIs total now.
Yeah.
Joey Loperfido got 2 in his first damn at bat. That was nice to watch.
Hey, you know what I really liked about him?
Talk to me.
How he comes in there, and my boy wasn't shy.
Not one bit.
He wasn't shy at all. In 3 of his first 5 at bats at the major league level, this guy is swinging at the first pitch. And you just played the sound right there where he gets his first major league hit and it's a 2 RBI single to give him the lead.
Yep.
Like, this is a dude that came in, understood the assignment, realized the moment. We didn't bring you up here to just kind of be bashful and just get your feet wet. No, come up here and do what you do. You are the minor league leader in home runs. We brought you up here to swing the stick, and that's what old boy did.
Come on, man. It was a hell of a start. Family was in the stands. It was a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Julia Morales up there interviewing him. Literally during the at-bat when he ends up getting the hit. I mean, absolute beautiful moment. Well done, Julia Morales. It was big time. Another guy that, I'm going to be honest with you, I was high on him a little earlier, and boy, about the last 6 months, I ain't had much for this old boy. But I got to give him his flyers. Because right after old Joey Loperfido had that 2-run single.
Hey, shout out, John. What's up, John? Hey,
Big John Singleton.
What up, Big John?
Hey, with an elite bat flip.
Hey.
Come on, man. This is what that one sounded like.
Here we are.
That ball's crushed to right. Second deck, 3-run bomb. And all of a sudden, it's 8-3 Astros.
One of the best bat flips you will ever see.
Hey, you want to talk about not being bashful and being sure of yourself. Knowing what happened once the ball hit the stick. Hey, my man say, hey, that's gone. I'm talking about no doubter.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I've been hard on Big Boy.
Rightfully so, I'd say.
Look, he matched Abreu's RBI total last night with that one swing, by the way. I've been hard on Big Boy. But I'm going to be honest with you. Skeezy, he's one of them kind of old boys that I could have a lot of fun rooting for him. If he can stay on that diamond.
He's saucy.
Big fella. He got that look on his face too, like he's just nasty. Oh. He probably didn't appreciate me saying this, but I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, I bet his bedroom, his hotel room, I bet it's messier than hell.
I don't know about that, but I've long known, way before they brought John Singleton back now, I've long known he was my type of guy. Long known. All right. So like
he's gotta be a story behind
him. Oh man, I mean you gotta look up the reason why he wasn't in the league anymore. Look. He is a guy.
All right, the marijuana.
I'm just going to say he is a guy who I've always thought I could get along with, that I could hang around, and that probably just overall is a happy guy.
Yeah, he's an enjoyable hang.
A joyful guy. So yeah, no, he's an advocate. I think he's an advocate.
Yeah,
so am
for
I.
Sure.
So I'm all about that John Singleton.
I'm just gonna be honest with you. If Big Boy could swing the stick well enough to play first base and settle into that sixth or seventh hole in this lineup, just bring a little power every now and then.
he pimped the hell out of that.
And bat flip like that, I could get down with Big John. I'm gonna be honest with you. Everybody needs that big boy in the lineup that clearly is a baseball player.
Yeah. It tells you a lot that he could go that long without being in the major leagues and come back and still have it, though. You know,
like, yeah.
There's got to be an I don't give a rip factor just to hang around and stick around and wait for somebody to get that call. And
yeah.
Absolutely.
Something to it.
Hey, here's the deal. Last but not least, my boy Vic.
Big Vic.
By the way, did y'all have Vic Caratini? Did y'all have him Puerto Rican, not speaking English?
I did not.
I thought he was Italian.
I'm with
Me
you.
Too.
I thought he was Italian.
I'm not the only one.
No, I'm with you.
I'm not the only one. I'm so glad you had that observation.
I thought for sure, but I'm sitting there watching that post game press last night, and Julia, and he goes to answer the question, and he looks completely away from Julia at the interpreter. I'm like,
yeah. But notice he understood English because he didn't need the question interpreted to him. He just wanted to speak Spanish and make sure that he was able to speak in his native tongue.
Scott, that's the damnedest thing because it's quick. It ain't like you would think he'd say, wait, slick, say it again.
It's a catatine.
I don't know where I've been on that.
Hey, I thought when Vic, and he even looks like he's got some kind of Italian or some kind. Like, no. Hey, yeah. he straight started speaking Spanish. I was like, oh, I had to look it up. Puerto Rican. Okay,
yeah,
Vic.
Yeah, I thought he was more Loperfido than he was Maldonado.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. That's what I thought.
Yes.
But, hey, you learn something every day.
I thought he was upstate New York. His grandpa was probably in the mafia somewhere up there and somewhere along those lines.
Probably eating gabagool a couple times in his time.
Puerto Rico, baby.
You thought he was hanging with Tommy DeVito.
I ain't going to lie to you, B. Scott. I sat there for 20 minutes thinking,
oh, man.
Caratini. Should I have been saying Caratini? Should I be rolling that R? Should I be figuring out?
It's like Caratini.
It's impossible. Like it's not. I've been screwed up. But anyway.
I realized we made some assumptions.
Yes. We got to give my man some flowers because at the end of the game, hey, last chance, two outs, game's on the line.
It's
a 9-8 ball game. And
bring him that Big Vic energy, baby.
It sounded like this.
Change up and slider. Go ball.
That ball hit pretty well to right. And there's a walk-off. A walk-off with two outs. Victor Caratini, the star of the game. The Astros, who are struggling in extra innings, walk it off. 10-9.
Boys, that's that again. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty, obviously.
No, it was a good feeling though.
But that's what the Astros have been able to do year over year now is win ugly. You know, when the staff, when the wheels come off of your staff and they give up so many runs, boom, you got a guy like come up in the damn bottom of the ninth or bottom of the tenth or whatever it may be, hits a homer. You know what I mean? Like, there's just they always seem to have been the team that comes out on top of those kinds of games, and boy, recently they just haven't been able to do it. That was a good feeling lesson. I got a question for you two boys.
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say I like the multiple contributions. How you do get it from? I know we didn't have Bregman in there, but we did get Bregman's first home run. But we also got it from all the others, and it wasn't lost on me this either, Clint. That on the day that they send Jose Abreu to the minor, when they send him back to Florida. That the guys that are there that are kind of designed to replace him. I know Loperfido is playing in the outfield, but he's going to play some first base. Obviously, John Singleton was playing first base. And even Big Vic, Victor Caratini, somebody who we've kind of talked about as bad as it was with Abreu, we were like, man, maybe they should just play both of their catchers and let one of them play first base. Like everybody that sort of would have filled a role or a void that he would have had there stepped up on the same day that they sent him packing. It was just a little bit of irony there, not to pile on Abreu, but it was nice to see them kind of come out of it. And don't look now, but they on a 3-game winning streak.
All right.
Don't look now.
Great, great transition from that right there. Maybe a little early for it, boys, but I'm feeling good. You got to bet it today. You got to bet it or not today. You got to make the decision today. The Astros recover. They make a run. And they make the playoffs, which I think means that they've got to win the damn division in order to make the playoffs. They're 6.5 back the Mariners right now. They're 5.5 back the Rangers right now. You got to bet it or not. You got to say, yeah, I'll take that bet or no chance. You got to make it today. How you feel about it, B. Scott?
Yeah, I'm off that bet.
No, no go.
No go, man.
I don't like it.
I hate to say it. I hate to, like, we got to be honest here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And y'all know how I bleed.
I don't want you to lie to
me. Y'all know how I bleed and where my allegiances are and what I'm rooting for. And I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to watch one of y'all make that bet and cash in on it. But am I comfortable putting my money on that, on betting against history? Like, they're fighting up against history. And you mentioned it, too. It'd be one thing if I felt like they had a better shot at the wild card. But I don't feel good enough about the division to feel like they're going to have a bunch of wild cards in this division. Like you said, it does feel like they have to win the division. And I just don't feel like, I feel like they dug up a good enough hole that even if they go on a run, at some point you're going to find yourself in another rut. Because as people like to remind us all the time, that's baseball. That's how baseball works, right? You're going to go through something throughout a season. It just happened to be that to start the season, it was so catastrophically bad. So if I had to bet on it, I'm rooting for it, obviously. But if I had to bet on it, I'd stay away from that bet, man.
Millie? T. Millie?
Oh, you know I'm jumping on it.
Oh, yeah. He's going to put him on the table.
I'll put him on the table, and I'm jumping on that bet. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to have a little sweat on my brow.
Does your bookie have that bet, Astros to win the division?
No, not.
That's a preseason bet?
Yeah. He doesn't do, like, live futures.
Do a little live future?
Yeah.
I bet that's out there somewhere. I bet it's a good one.
But I'd hop on it, man, because going back to what you were just saying, Clint, before you posed this question to us, you know, this Astros team being what we see over and over again, you know, responding to adversity. Our guy Patrick Creighton from Area 45, he told me this yesterday. He said this when we were talking about the Astros, and it stuck with me. He said, man, there's been no other squad in Major League Baseball over the last 7 years that continually, time after time, gets up off the mat whenever they get knocked down. And it's the Houston Astros. And they really have been doing that for 7 years. You think they're out. You think they're not going to make another run to another ALCS. There they are. But once again, last night, that was gritty as hell. I'd lock in the bet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's what I would do. A lot like I did yesterday, and I'd hope you didn't drop the ball. I'd bet with you, Tyler. I'd bet with you. I've not, me and Ron talk about this all the time. I've been pissed off. I've been down and out. But I have not gotten to the point where I believe that the Astros can't make a run and get into the playoffs. I would bet right now with some really, really good odds that they would get in. B. Scott, I feel like we need to have a show meeting. Let's not Ron Ugly, a show meeting.
Yeah, I got you.
Got a bad feeling I know where this is going.
Tyler.
That's
he got me again. First time I let it slide because we won a three-team parlay instead of the four. So, no big deal. I got it. Before we got off the air last night, Tyler, what's the total? What's the Astros total? 4.5. I said, I won't own it for you. He said, $100 yet? We had a good conversation on air about
it. Yeah, I heard it. Yeah. I was listening to it.
Hell yeah, get me on it.
Yeah.
We walk out of the studio. Last thing I said, T, you put me on that bet? No. I didn't get in there yet. I didn't get back in. I already signed out, but I'm going to go in the studio right here. I'll do it right now. Walk in the studio today. Guess what I get? I get them old puppy dog eyes from Tyler. Hey, man, sorry.
You never put that bet in.
He didn't put that bet in, man.
Because I swear they scored more than 4.5.
Damn, Tyler.
Eight.
Which they obviously couldn't score four and a half. Like, but yeah, they scored 4.5.
They scored 8.
Yeah, I know.
What makes it worse, L. B, is I won money on it.
Oh, because he'd already put it in.
Scored 9.
I feel like he should probably split those winnings with me. What do you think? I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna be completely transparent.
Sleazy.
I mean, you look at those two bets. Sleazy. You look at those two bets. I think Tyler's probably cost me $400 total.
Yeah, that parlay was a rough one.
That parlay was gonna be a big one. I mean, it was gonna be big. And okay. But, you know, I'm going to be honest. Tyler's also not responded 3 or 4 times at least where I wanted to make a bet. And he's like, nah, bro, I didn't have my phone with me, or I was in the club bar or whatever.
Yeah, I know a couple of those times I was busted up pretty good.
And I said, oh, don't worry about it, bro, because you saved me some money. So, look, I think I'm going to – now, it happens again, T.
Yeah, hey, look.
It can happen again.
I mean –
because you're bordering now. Clint, you might have to get gangster on Tyler and work around and get to his bookie and just, like, cut him out.
Yeah.
I mean, I may have to go straight to the source.
Cut out the connect.
I mean, boy, that was a rough one. I sat there on that couch last night. I felt real good about myself. I was already counting my cash out, man.
If I wouldn't have forgot to do it right when you told me, like I normally do, we'll be in show, you'll say it, I'll just get right here on the PC, I'll log it in. But for some reason, I dropped the ball on that last night. But I did remember before first pitch, but damn it, I like went in, I logged in, and they had taken all the lines off to be bet on. And
by the way, I know this isn't going to shock anybody, but back to our big John Singleton conversation, loving the bat flip, loving the big fella. our guy Ron.
Yeah.
Oh, negative ass Ron. He ain't done enough to have that bat flip.
That's what he said.
That's his takeaway. Hey, Ron, take your ass to New York. And you know what? You already thinking like them damn people up in the Northeast. Go on up there with your own negative ass.
Is Ron unaware
that mean ass.
Does he not realize all you have to do literally is hit the ball hard, and that's all you have to do to do the backflip?
Ron, chill out. He's a human being, man. Yeah, Don't be so hard on him,
yeah,
bro.
Hey, well done, Tyler. Well done. All right, now, look, Tank Dell. Tank Dell was shot Saturday night in a bar in Florida. And it was reported immediately that he had been treated at a hospital and released. And I felt pretty good about it, to be honest with you. Nick Caserio gave us a little update this morning on Payne and Pendergast. And boys, I'm a little bit concerned. That's Nick.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Ron is out. B. Scott is in. Payne and Pendergast. They had Texans general manager on this morning, and I'm telling you, man, it was money. When we get off the air, feel free to use that Odyssey app and go back and listen. I think it was it right at 7:30?
Right at 7:30.
I use the Odyssey app. So go back 7:30.
Had him for about 40 minutes.
Yep.
Pretty good stuff.
Yep, it was good stuff. He hit several topics. One of those topics is wide receiver Tank Dell. I mean, a fan favorite, no doubt about it. U of H, straight out of U of H, an old Cougar, comes to the Texans. And when he was healthy, he was lighting this thing up. And quite frankly, the dude is just an extremely likable person. He is the kind of player that his production is exciting. It's fireworks. You know, the fact that he's a smaller dude that exceeds expectations consistently because of the way he plays is just makes him a fan favorite. And
skill set is unique.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
And when I got, I think Tyler texted us Saturday evening. Actually, it wasn't even. I don't know. Was it? I guess it was Sunday because I was over at the in-laws. It was Sunday.
Yeah,
it was Sunday around.
It happened overnight, Saturday.
Early Sunday morning,
yep.
And he said, holy cow. Not really, but, you know, I'm going to clean it up for radio. He said, Tank Dell got shot. I was like, what? So I start Googling and I start trying to figure out what's happening. Hell, before I left my in-laws, it was on the news. And
holy cow.
You know, the report was initially that he had been treated and released from the hospital. I don't know where I heard it, but it was made out that it was just, yeah, he got hit, but it was more of a graze than it was a actual shot.
Yeah. That it was minor.
Yeah, it was very minor.
Yeah, minor wound.
And I felt pretty good about it. Not that it happened. I don't ever want that to happen to anybody because, I mean, shocks. I mean, I imagine it shocks the hell out of everybody. The PTSD is real, I would imagine. But I felt pretty good about it from a stance of a Houston Texans fans. All right, is Tank Dell going to be all right? Is he going to be able to play? Is he still on schedule to get back from this broken leg? And are we all good? Is he going to be there opening day? Is he going to be there for training camp? Well, Nick Caserio, the Texans general manager this morning, he joined Payne and Pendergast, and this is the update that he gave on Tank Dell.
Tank's doing great. We've had conversations with him. We have visited with him. D'Amico's had a chance to talk to me the other day. So he's doing okay. Certainly making progress. I think he's going to be okay from a health standpoint. So the substance and the nature of those conversations will kind of keep that to ourselves. Mm-hmm. But Tank's in good spirits. He's doing well. So it's kind of working through the process. So he's been in and out of the building, which is good. So, you know, right now he's in a pretty good state of mind.
Think he's going to be okay, doing well, state of mind, all that. I don't know. I just, when I heard Nick say that, I thought, man, this sounds like it's a little bit more serious than at least what I thought from the initial report.
Yeah, I was expecting. So, of course, they're going to ask about Tank Dell. They basically, once they get past the wrestling and some of the pleasantries, that's the first thing that they asked about, right? And so, of course, they're going to ask about that. I honestly was expecting more of an answer of, you know, we're thankful that Tank made it out with his life. That was a very scary situation. You know, maybe a little bit more emphasis on Tank being a victim in the whole situation, because we heard that too. That's been a part of the reporting and part of the narrative that, hey, Tank Dell was not involved in any of the shenanigans that was going on. If anything, he was supposedly trying to stop the fight or break up the fight, but he was not in any way, supposedly, at least, an aggressor in this. He was a victim.
Got caught
in the middle of a bad thing, basically. And you didn't really hear enough of that. And he didn't express disappointment. Like, that word was not used. And there was nothing that he necessarily said in there that said he was disappointed. But just the tone in which he spoke and the words that he didn't use did make me think a little bit of, okay, what exactly is really going on here? And I don't know how much of it we'll find out, especially if he is okay, and hopefully he is, and this is something that they get past him. But it did make me pause a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I went from having zero worries, zero concerns, oh, he escaped, he's good, all is well, to, damn, I mean, could this potentially be something that Tank's going to have to deal with? Could this have been more of a direct hit than maybe we were led to believe? Or at least the reports, led us to believe initially, man. So, personally, I hope the guy's all right, obviously. But from a recovery standpoint, I mean, something in May with a second-year player like Tank Dell, I mean, anything that sets him back beyond the leg being broken in during play last year, I mean, that would be a shame if that is the case. I mean, first and foremost, I just hope the guy's all right, period. I mean, forget football. But the football aspect of it and the fan in me is like, damn, is Tank going to be there in mini camps and in the offseason with Stroud being able to get that work in?
And, Clint, I am inclined to believe that the in and out of the building part and the conversations with D'Amico, that has to be a good thing.
Yeah.
I understand why Nick wouldn't want to divulge the specifics of the conversations that they had, but even the fact that he would say, hey, we're going to keep that, you know, I don't think Sean asked him specifically about what they talked about. He just asked if Tank was going to be okay. So the fact that he even said that made me kind of pause a little bit. But yeah, the hope is that, hey, in and out of the building is more of, hey, we're just kind of, you know, loving on you a little bit, or you know, talking to you, communicating with you, keeping that line of communication open, also checking you out to see if you're good, you know, getting our own eyes and feel for this injury or this wound or whatever it is, versus maybe, hey, if it is worse than you think, and maybe they feel like there's a need for him to be in and out of the building. I don't know exactly what that means, but I hope that it's a positive thing.
Well, you just look at it, man. Right now, this team's getting a ton of love and hype for their top three wide receivers. They're being viewed along with, I believe, the Bears and maybe a couple of other teams as having the best trio in the game with Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, and Tank Dell. And while I agree with it right now, you've got some small sample sizes with two of those guys, the two original Texans, Tank Dell
and
Nico Collins.
Oh, no doubt.
They've got more guys have a good year here and there and then fall off and kind of come back down to earth. A lot more guys do that than continue to be 1,200-yard receivers and continue to be the electric players that Tank Dell happens to be. So, there's a lot riding on these guys, on all three of these wide receivers this year, and Tank Dell's a big part of
it. Yeah, no doubt about it. I talked about the unique skill set, his ability to get open. I mean, it is rare. It is unlike most. So you obviously want to have that as a factor. And then to your point about the guys being, you know, sort of unproven, think about it like this. Nico Collins has played more healthy football than Tank Dell has. Right. I understand Tank Dell was just a rookie last year, but the question with Nico Collins is a matter of health. So, and he's played more than Tank has. So, yeah, none of this is a sure thing. You obviously want them to be at their best. This is a bit of a setback. You hope that it's minimal. Obviously, it's a blessing that he got out of there with his life.
All right, the Texans draft. There's a little bit, not a lot, but there's a little bit of meat left on that bone, especially when you hear from the general manager on Sports Radio 610 for the first time after the draft. Are you worried about Kamari Lassiter's speed in the secondary? Hell, you should be. Do you think that Blake Fisher, second-round offensive tackle, is really going to play this year? Come on. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Casario.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
B. Scott, SportsRadio610.com. I feel the need to say that because you kick ass on SportsRadio610.com, not because you're not also on air as much as damn near anybody in the building.
Appreciate that.
And do a hell of a job. But he's in. He's in for Ron Hughley. Ron is turning 40, y'all. He's turning 40. He's going to New York. He's doing it big time. I'll tell you what, for a guy that penny pinches his ass off every chance he gets to the point where he buys cheap-ass drawers, I think he gets about 10 pair of underwear for $10. he sure enough goes out on these birthdays.
Yeah, that is
the thing. They got eight of them. Eight folks going to New York, man. They're going to do it big now.
That is the thing that Ron clearly is good with spending his money on. It's the travel and the vacations with either his wife or his family.
Yeah, we got to get to the bottom of this. I feel like, though, this is like a non-negotiable for Courtney.
A non-negotiable, like she couldn't pass up on this with Ron?
No. Like, I feel like she just has accepted that Ron's going to be cheap as hell on a lot of stuff. But I think there's two or three things that she's just put her foot down and said, we're gonna splurge here. We're gonna go do these things.
Yeah, I could see that going either way though. Saying either with Ron or Courtney saying, hey, if we gonna be cheap here, this is where we got to splurge. Or Ron pitching hey, you know what, baby? I know I got these cheap draws on every time you see me take my clothes off. But when we leave the city, we're going to really do it big.
Hey, I'm going to buy him some nice draws. When he comes back, I told him, I said, I'm going to change your sex life. Well, I'm going to have Courtney take her love for you to a whole nother level.
The showman.
But no, the only reason I say that is that Ron has admitted to me a time or two that, like, Courtney's had to check him a couple times. We're like, man, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Well, he was going to let her finger stay messed up after the wreck. I was listening to y'all when y'all did that. I could not believe what I was hearing.
Well, that's another thing that I'm sure Courtney's put her foot down and said, no, we ain't going to be cheap.
Oh, he lucky she dug in already.
We ain't going to be cheap on that one.
He lucky she three kids in already, because that would have caused some issues.
We'll splurge on the new finger, okay? That's what we're going to splurge on. That's something we'll spend some money on.
If they were dating, that would have been an argument.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that kind of went, the finger?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Come on. No, like, what you mean we're just going to see what happens with it?
You know, it's kind of one of those things where as you date and as you hang, you know, you're like, man, good money sense, man. Not out there just blowing and going and spending money they ain't got and spending money before they make it and all that.
Yeah.
But then once you get bedded down, a couple kids, it's like, man, would you relax over there, man?
Yeah.
Dang. On, but Ron, hey, you're going to splurge. But the point of that, I say all that to say my man's going to New York to do his damn thing. Nick Caserio, he joined Payne and Pendergast this morning. A couple things on the draft. There's a little bit of meat left on that draft bone, y'all. I'll be honest with you. I'm getting to a point where I don't like either one of the second round picks.
Really? Neither one?
I just don't.
Give him a chance, Clint.
I definitely don't like the tackle at all, right?
You don't like the tackle. You don't like the situation. You don't like the process.
Well, it's nothing about the kid. I just don't like.
I'm at the play, like as a player.
I don't know him well enough to know whether he's, you know, what he's going to be or what he's not going to be. I trust that he's a second round graded tackle. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But I just, my biggest fear for the Houston Texans is the mentality of, hey, we've arrived because you went to the second round last year and you won 10 games, and the mentality of we're in a spot where we can literally draft for the future. Like, you're not there. You don't know who your left guard's going to be. If you do know who your left guard's going to be, you don't know who your center's going to be, right? I mean, you don't know. Like, I'm talking about, like, spots that you – rotational positions. You really don't know who your hand-in-the-dirt tight end was going to be, right? You don't know who your second back is going to be. Maybe they do in Damian Pierce. I think they do with Damian Pierce. A lot of folks don't. I mean, you don't know what's going on with your depth at safety. We have no idea with the number one corner opposite Derek Stingley what that looks like. Depth at linebacker, what does that look like? I mean, every position across the board, with the exception of a couple, I could understand depth because it's rotational positions. I mean, receiver, I don't want to hear nothing about depth because you're deep. I mean, barring like a rash of injuries, you got your guys. The other position was tackle. Like, you got a boatload of money in two guys. You got a veteran swing tackle in Charlie Heck. Charlie Heck clearly made you feel good enough that you didn't feel the need to chase George Fant. Let him move on. Yeah. I mean, so like that. But anyway, that's
and going into year five now for Charlie Heck too. By the way, surprisingly, has survived a long time.
Yeah. Veteran. I mean, veteran now. So, I mean, there's a minute. Right. I mean, he just is who he is. He's not a starting tackle in this league at this point in time. He's a reserve swing tackle. And I think I personally think he's been decent when I think he's done plenty when he's got in there.
Yeah, for what he is.
I mean, I don't recall a time last year. I could be wrong. I didn't study Charlie Heck every single snap. But there wasn't a time when Charlie Heck was in there when I was like, damn, Charlie Heck's just, I mean, he's keeping this team from doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, okay. they just can't, you know, there was never that, and that's what you want out of a swing tackle.
You feel like he's an adequate swing tackle.
Right. A swing tackle, I want you to go in there and don't be a problem. Don't be the reason we're in the press box throwing stuff because your ass can't block anybody.
Right.
And Charlie Heck was never that guy. But anyway, so these two picks, coming off the draft, that these are the most premium picks the Texans had. And, Kamari Lassiter is, I think, widely believed to have been drafted as an outside corner. And the more I hear from Nick Caserio, the less I believe he was drafted to be an outside corner. I think Kamari Lassiter is a guy that skill set fits. The speed or the lack thereof can somewhat be hidden at the nickel defender where it really can't outside unless you put a safety over the top every time.
Right.
I think there's a need. There's more of a need there. I like Dez King. I don't think they necessarily feel great about Dez King given that they cut him and had to re-sign him last year off the streets, basically.
Yeah. Two teams technically cut him because the Texans did and then the Steelers did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Kamari Lassiter, depending on what you read, he ran anywhere from a 4.51 to a 4.53 on one clock or on a handful of the reported clock. And then there was another clock that reported 4.61 to 4.65. I want to put this in perspective. I ran a 4.6, boys.
Damn, dirty.
I was 4.6 every day, all day, on a handheld clock when I was coming out.
And they didn't think about making you a Cooper DeJean?
No. My receiver days were in high school, and I was a 4.7 at that point in time.
You wouldn't Ladd McConkey out there?
Yeah, no, Ladd. I ran a 4.6. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, like, that's a problem. If that clock is accurate, that is a problem.
And it was at his pro day, too.
Yes.
The favorable measures.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's your people that are taking. It's not the combine. Those are your people.
Right.
They're taking the times.
Well, here's Nick Caserio talking about that speed, whether it is or isn't an issue, how he views the 40-yard dash time or the lack thereof with Kamari Lassiter.
the way we've always viewed, I would say 40 times, it's a data point. So it's a measure of a particular, it's some kind of measurement that you have. Fast guys are fast, you know, they run fast. There have been plenty of times where you're evaluating a player and you say, boy, this guy's really fast. And then maybe he runs a time that's less than what you think it is. So it goes both ways. So I would say specific to Kamari, it was a player that when you watch him play, no one that evaluated him said he's slow. So did he run a bad time? Well, the time's the time. Like, nobody can change that. So nobody's going to make an excuse. I'm not certainly going to make an excuse for him. So the time's the time. But that doesn't mean that you can't play football. So our job is to evaluate the football player, take the information in, make an assessment about what we think it is.
That's a 4-5-1 response, by the way. The time is the time of 40. Because yeah. I agree with Nick to a certain extent of, like, I've seen a lot of dudes that don't run 4-2, 4-3 play 4-3. Yeah. Right? I mean, that's the truth.
Before or vice versa, guys who run fat, you know, run like a bat out of hell, but still can't cut. Yeah, right.
Right. No question.
Yeah.
So I get that point. But 4-6-5 is a problem.
It's not good.
Look, I don't know what is or isn't spot on accurate. 4-6-5, by the way, I was running 4-6-5 laser time too, by the way. That was which is slower than a handheld time. That's a problem, guys. Yeah. And look, it's a problem. I'll put it to you this way. It's more of a problem outside than it is inside. All right. I think it can somewhat be masked or hidden, or you can talk yourself into he's got football speed, not track speed, at the nickel defender position. Okay? So I'm leaning nickel defender. And then I hear Nick say this, and this comparison here, and he's not comparing this player specifically to Kamari Lassiter, but it is what comes to mind in from a speed perspective. And again, it just takes me to one spot. Nickel defender. Here is Nick Caserio talking about, again, the 40-yard dash or let's say the lack of having speed relative to a 40-yard dash.
You know, I think this player just retired recently here, but Logan Ryan is another example of a player who didn't run, I would say, necessarily fast. It's a player we took in the third round in whatever year that was, and Logan Ryan had 11, 12-year career because he was tough, he was instinctive, he played the ball well, he tackled, and no one ever watched him play and said Logan Ryan is slow. Mm-hmm. So, again, I'm not saying Kamari Lassiter is Logan Ryan, but I think this is part of the process, so I mean, people are going to make their judgments and assessments. Like, we can't control any of that. All we can control is our decision-making, and we feel comfortable with Kamari the football player, which is why we drafted him, which is why he's a Houston Texan.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but was Logan Ryan a corner?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
He was a true outside corner.
I believe so.
My knowledge and since I've been working here and covering the league, Logan Ryan was inside, and Logan Ryan was more of now it's later in his career.
Yeah, I feel like he moved inside.
He may have moved inside.
Yeah.
But again, the point is that lack of speed is difficult to necessarily translate to the league at outside corner, where inside corner, some kind of rover position, some kind of hybrid corner nickel safety position is more in line with what I think this guy brings to the table. So, I don't think it's a bad thing. By the way, I don't think it's a bad thing that he's not an outside corner. My point is just everything I keep hearing is telling me that Buddy's going to end up inside.
Yeah, and I'm just as interested as the rest of us to see where he's going to play. I think it's still undetermined. Like, we still got a question you want to talk about outside. Like, if I'm looking at the veterans more so as competing for that outside spot.
Agreed.
They have the inside track to that position to me over Kamari Lassiter. It's why I'm actually more intrigued by the slot, the nickel corner spot for him, because Dez King, while we like Dez King, we just acknowledge sort of the issue. They let him go. They had to bring him back from a team that let him go. This could be a plan for the Dez King replacement, or maybe they just wanted to get younger and more talented at the slot corner, which I think in today's game is not a terrible idea. You probably need more defensive backs than you did way back when, so I'm good with it. Even if he's not an outside corner, I don't want to rule it out, though. You know, I don't want to rule it out yet just for him actually having a chance to compete for that spot.
Well, B-Scott, I like Dez King because I thought he was just significantly better than Tavier Thomas.
He's a good football player.
He's a really good football player, plays with great instincts. That's why it shocked me that D'Amico, again, I think something behind the scenes happened. But nonetheless,
yeah,
I also can understand and admit, like, hey, a second-round defensive back is going to have a tangible physical advantage over Dez King.
Yeah.
He is going to be he's going to have better tangible assets than Dez King. And there's room to improve over Dez King. I'm not bullish on Dez King's the best thing since sliced bread. I think there's room to improve there. And I think that's where Lassiter ends up helping this football.
And you want to feel good about your corner depth. Remember when Dez King was your slot corner a couple of years ago and you ended up being injured at corner and he had to play outside?
He had to bump outside.
You'd like to feel better about your slot guy being able to do that if it come down to it.
Yeah, bottom line is we can cuss and discuss the draft picks. At the end of the day, assuming that Jeff Okudah and C.J. Henderson, Warner, both of those guys work out to stick on this roster, the cover defenders on this team are going to be significantly better than they were in the past.
They should be.
And I'm not just talking about the top two. I'm talking about the depth. You're talking about having four or five, if you include Dez King, possibly five or six guys that can play corner in a pinch. Now, you don't want to make it happen, but could play corner in a pinch. That's a big-time deal. All right, them Strohs, baby. Look, they took two down there in Mexico City. We said it don't matter. Don't mean much if they don't get a little momentum and keep this thing rolling when they face better baseball teams. Well, it wasn't pretty, but damn it, they came out on top. We'll talk about them Astros and what last night looked like, along with the University of Houston playing hardball. And I love it. That's next on Sports Radio 610.
Go Cougs! That's my guy.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.